That the Leil Pesach is different. Ashir Azay Yelachim Kalel Eskadish Chag means that the Leil Eskadish Chag, the Leil of Pesach, is unique. It's unique Laila because it's dedicated to the concept of a person being completely given over. His motivation is his total dedication and motivation is for Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Bavur Zeh Asar Hashem Li, Bavur Shekayim Mitzvosov. Bavur Shekayim Mitzvosov. That's what it means. That's what it means. Manashtana Halayla Zeb Mikol HaLaylos, Shevachol HaLaylos Anoch Muhammad Samatzah, Shevachol HaLaylos, etc., etc. It means that the Layla, that's the Kedushas HaLayla. The Kedushas HaLayla is Mitzvahs. That's the Kedushas HaLayla. Okay. Now, an interesting thing is, I mean, we never took this up, but we might want to do it right now. Question of, they always ask the question that the Shela of the Abba Bunim, Kenega Abba Bunim de Ritara. It's interesting to see where the Pasuk really, how the Pasuk arranged it. I mean, it's something we never did. We just do it from, it's an interesting, I never investigated. I'm doing it with you right now. So, what do you have? You have four Kenega Abba Bunim de Ritara. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Cheni additional, Echad what? Tam Echad Cheni. Okay. So the first one is the Chacham, right? What is the Chacham? Chacham Alomer. So what is the answer to the Chacham? Where does the answer to the Chacham come from? Let's take a look.
The answers don't come from the places where the questions are.
Doesn't come from the places. That's right. It says Mo Eidos Vachukim VaMishpatim Ma'aser Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. Doesn't even give you it doesn't even. It doesn't even give you an answer for the Chacham, actually. Right? By the way, that's also pshat. Ein machtir nacha pesach afikoman is like the Rambam says that the taste of the cheftza shel mitzvah should be in your mouth after you finish the suda. Why? So we said, that's what we said last year. Because that's the kedushas halayla is a tshuka, a desire for kiyum mitzvahs. So that's why you demonstrate that by eating the last thing of the Suda, the taste should be a chefza shel mitzvah. Okay? But the Chacham, the answer to the Chacham is not found in the Torah. Only the Chacham's, only his question is found in the Torah. Where's it in the Zendvar, right?
We also have the
Rav had
the person would learn the Torah just on the surface, they say, what is the mitzvah of Vigarta Levincha? I would say, you just learned the pasuk, so I guess I'll tell you what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to, like, this is exactly what we must say to Avodim hayinu lefar b'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu ar Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazam. Is that what the pasuk is there? Kisholcha vincha macha lemar, yes to shayla, ma'idus b'mishpatim, and you say, Avodim hayinu lefar b'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu ar Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazam. That's what you have to say. Say, this is, you must say this word for word. No such a law. As a matter of fact, you should say more. The next psukim as well. Vayitin ad Hashem osos and mofsim gedolim v'royim b'mitzrayim v'far v'chal beis alein eno. V'asonu hotsim yisham. V'yitzavein Hashem lasas kol hachukim eilu v'yir Hashem l'kem tov gona kol yom l'chayim v'yir Hashem l'kem v'yir Hashem l'kem till the end. till Shri, actually. That's what you would say if you look at the Torah. Plain shot, pshitukim ashmoy in the Torah. That's what you'd say? No such thing. Amazing thing, no such thing. So for the question of Mavodos Haslachem, so what are you supposed to answer him? It says, V'amartem zevach pesach uvod Hashem, asher pesach abotev nei sov, Mitzrayim enok was, Mitzrayim was batayim vitzio. I mean, again, here would seem to be a formula, an exact, precise formula in the Torah, which we don't use, we don't employ. I mean, who could say it better than the Torah? And we don't employ it. We don't say Zevach Pesach Ula Hashem Asher Pesach Avotei Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Benokbas Mitzrayim Es Batei Yitzel. We don't say that. And the answer for the Rasha is Bavur Zeh. Where's Bavur Zeh? Bavur Zeh is Yud Gimel, Is that's the same answer for the Rasha? The same answer for Shein Dei Lishol, right? Where's the Yudim what? So really, for the Rasha, you give the same answer as you give to the Sheni Delisha from the same pasuk. Except you don't emphasize the li. By the Rashi, you say li, li, falalai. You emphasize the li. But for Shani Delishal, you say, Bavoy Asar Hashem li, b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. That's it. Okay? Shenema. I'm sorry. You don't tell him that pasuk. Shani Delishal, you say, Atzachla. How do you know? Shenema, Vigato Vincha Bayoma, who lema Bavoy Asar Hashem li, b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk that you derive the method from, but that's not the answer you give the Shnei Lishol. Shnei Lishol's answer is not mentioned anyways. You have to give him your own answer. Okay? But the answer, the pasuk that's quoted over there, is a pasuk from where? Is the pasuk from the same? That Bavur Zeh is used for the Russia. Bavur Zeh Osad Hashem Li. Okay? Leave it alone. All right? Okay. Now, Tomo Omer, Mazos. Okay, Vamato Lov. Where's the Tom's answer? Bachozik Yod, Hotzion Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. That's, here it is. Vayki Shocha Vincha Leim Ma'adidiyya. That's the only one that works out. Okay? Vahoya Ki Shocha Vincha Macha Leim Mazos. That's the Tom. Vamato Lov. Bechozik Yod, Otsiano Hashem, Mitzrayim, Beis Avodim. That's it. What? That's in the end of Yigimel Yedalot. I'm sorry, Yigimel Yedalot. Vayek Yishol Chavon Chavincham Machal Lemar Mazos. Rashi says Zet Tino Tipe Sheni Yedel LaHamik Sheloso Vesosim Veshoel Mazos Makam Achar Omer Moedis Hachim Hashpatim Harezos Shelos Ben Chacham. Dibetok nega babonim. Tom, Rasha, Veshnei Elisho, Vashel Derech Chochma. Okay. Yep. That's the Rashi explains. Kenega babonim dibetor. It's an interesting thing. But this also goes on. Leiki kshafar l'shalcheni, v'yayar Hashem kol b'chor, b'eretz Mitzrayim, b'chor adem v'chor b'hema, al kena nizaveach, l'ad Hashem kol peter rechem ha'schorim, v'chor b'chor b'nai evdeh. It seems to me that's part of the same answer. In the pasuk, look at the pasuk. Shetam b'chos gavus Hashem Mitzrayim beis avodim vayihi ki hikshafar l'shalcheinu vayar Hashem kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim b'chor adem v'chor b'hema. Right? Al kena nizaveach l'ad Hashem kol peter rechem ha'schorim v'chor b'chor b'nai evdeh. This is not found that good at all. Okay, the answer. The full answer to the Tom is not there. I mean, it's a strange thing. Why? Because you have the Torah is giving you a formula. Really, how many formulas do you have in the Torah, really? You have three formulas. You have one formula is over here. You gimel, you dal, and tesvav. The next formula you have is, the previous formula is where is, Yudbeis Chavav. Okay. Mor Vodazos Lachem. Vamatim Zer Peschum Varishim. Okay. Alright. And then the next formula you have is the Vash Chana. And we don't use any of them. It's an interesting thing. We don't use any of them. It's an amazing thing. Yet from here we derive our Babana. The only one that works out is the tongue. Somewhat, partially. The Rosh's question of Mo'avodas Lachem is where? Where's Rosh's question? Yes, over here. It's in Yidbei. Mo'avodas Lachem, and the Rosh is supposed to answer Zerah Pesach Olad Hashem, Shepesach Olad Hashem, Mitzrayim. Benog Pos Mitzrayim, Vespatein Litzel, Ikir Rishadol. That you don't answer. You answer him, Bavur Zeh Osad Hashem Li. Where's that? That's, where's the Bavur Zeh is where?
You give him a
Yeah. So in the Torah, what do you have in the Torah actually? In the Torah you have like this. Bavur Zeh is the formulation of the mitzvah. V'gadta l'vincha b'yom u'leimo bavur Zeh. That's the formulation of the mitzvah. Then you have three. Three questions. V'yaki shalcha v'incha b'yom u'leimo mazos. And before ma'avod azos lachem. That's Voyek Yomro Aleichem Benechem Mo'avod Azaz Lachem. And then you have in Dvarim, what do you have? In Dvarim you have Ki Yishol Chavin Chamachal Leimor Mo'ayit Esafik Meshpatim Shasir Hashem Al Kenosem. Yep. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. It would seem like on the surface, it would seem like the Bala Goda really starts with Avon Mayinu. He's starting with this. He's take off from this, right? So actually you have, in other words, this Avodim Hayinu Lafar Mitzrayim Yatzeinu Hashem Elokeinu. They ate Elokeinu. And the pasuk says Yatzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim Biyad Chazaka. By Yatzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Biyad Chazaka. And then they ate it with Zrona to you. That's it. That seems pretty much pretty exact. But that's really the answer for the Shal of the Ben Chacham. It's a problem. Right. Actually, the parasha in other words in Shmos Yud Gimel, where it says Vayik Yishol Chavincha Machalema Mazos, is not referring to the Mitzvah Salayla at all. It's really referring to Parshas. It's Parshas Bechor. So it's Halach of Bechor Adam and Bechor Behemah, right? Bechor Adam Bevanecha Tifta. So it's Halach of Bechor. It's Halach of Parshas Bechor. Afrashas Bechor, giving the Bechor to the Kain, being pulled at the Bechor. It has nothing to do with really. That's why the answer says Vayikri Shifalo Shachin V'Yarishem Kol Bechor V'Nasam Bechor Al Kenin Nizviach L'Rashem Kol Petarichem Aschom Kol Bechor B'Nayef Kol Bechor B'Nayefta. That's really has nothing to do really with the Mitzvah Salayla. It's not even talking about the night of Pesach. It's an interesting thing.
The
Kenin
Bechor is that?
It's from it's Parshas Kadosh Kol Bechor.
The formula Kadosh Kol Bechor that we have.
Yeah.
Does that mention?
That's correct too.
So
the formula, you're right.
This mazos,
the formula, mazos. Yeah, mazos seems to be. It implies the term implies mazos is what he called it. Is referring to the pidyon bechor, but actually it's not.
Well,
that's what the Yeah, that's right. You're right. You give a kaddish kol bechor. You're right. That's correct. You're right. It's in the parsha of kaddish kol bechor. But the only thing is that in the parsha, in that parsha, no, in the parsha of gimel. So you have two of them in Parsha Gimel, you're right. But there's a difference, because in the beginning, in Kaddish, they call Bechor, so it says, Vayom Moshe La'om. So they start talking, Zohar, so Yom HaZeh, Shkitzah, some same base of Vodim. So Zohar, so Yom HaZeh, is Le'el Chamisha Osa. Hayim, you see? That's good. Vodim, Zavodim, Zos, Bechor, Shazeh. What's Zavodim, Zos, Bechor, Shazeh? That means Pesach. See, Shiv Shem Tochah Matzis Yochel, the Gatel Vincha. So that's good. It starts off with Kaddish to Kol Bechor, but then it goes back into the into what happened before, the reason for Kaddish to Kol Bechor, which is the mitzvah of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim and Zochar Siyom. So that's fine. But then it comes back to, what? To the Petach Hamor, you're right. And then, I mean, to Bechor. Right. And then it says, you're right, but it's one parsha. Okay. And the answer seems to be an answer with regard to Petra, with regard to Bechor, not an answer with regard to the Mitzvah Salayla. Okay, so that takes care of it, but that's two of them, right? That's two of them. And where's the, so once again, so what do you understand? And Shmos Yud Beis Chavav is dealing actually with Pesach. It was Pesach Mitzrayim, but in Pesach Mitzrayim, they're already informed about Pesach Doros. So they already said, right? What? No. Okay. There's one thing I want to tell you about. I mean, what I said before about Sefer Dvarim, there's two things. There's a different Musaf Moshe Rabbeinu, and then there's the mitzvahs that weren't there from before. Those mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu previously. That was those mitzvahs, that wasn't his dibor. That was definitely the way he received the mitzvah. But those mitzvahs weren't given over to later, because those mitzvahs are tied into B'as Arts. But so that's why I had to be given over the list. In the end, because those mitzvahs, everyone knows mitzvahs always tied to BSR. Let's take a look at them. Okay. This could be whether this is a mitzvah, or this was this a mitzvah? Kishocha v'incha macha le'mar, v'matala v'incha. It's a repetition of a mitzvah. Okay, we don't know. Anyways, The question is too difficult. The solution has to be simple. Yeah. For instance, let's take when it says Mo Avodas Eslachem. Okay. So what does it mean? Lo Yakiyomra Aleichem Beneichem Mo Avodas Eslachem. That was in Pesach Mitzrayim, and they were informed in Pesach Mitzrayim. It was important for them to know in Pesach Mitzrayim that this would be a mitzvah l'daras. It's an interesting thing. Why? Because we one time said the pshat in Pesach Mitzrayim. The whole idea of Pesach Mitzrayim was that they were saved through the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. And they had to realize that the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah is not just a performance that's being done now to save you tonight. It's because that's like magic. That's like contrary. That's like, that borders on the same type of system they had before, Avodah Zarah. But it really, it's a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. If it's a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, so then it's something which has importance forever. Always has importance. That's why they were told that. Because this is a mitzvah, and mitzvahs are l'doros. So therefore, you'll always need this chafetz shel mitzvah in order to protect. Okay. So it says, that's why it says voy kiyom alechem benechem mo avodas lachem v'amartem zevach pasuk l'ad Hashem. You should explain to him. Okay. Yeah. Now. What it means is like this. It doesn't mean over here that it means, what does it mean? The term means that when you kisavo alaharet shitam shem lachem kasher diber shmatam asavod azos. And then what does the Torah say? Voya kiyom alechem benechem, and your children, which will be rishoyim, will say to you, ma avod azos lachem lachem alavo. Doesn't make any sense. What does it mean? It means that's what he's forecasting. That's what Torah's forecasting is, or what that the. That God is saying that that they're going to come to another land, and they're going to have Rishayim. They all say Mo Avodas Lachem. No, it doesn't mean that. See, what it means is like this. What it means is that Mo Avodas Lachem really means the question. It's a general question. Mo Avodas Lachem doesn't mean Lachem Lalo. That's not what it means. Mo Avodas Lachem means simply. Plain pshat, it means, anyone just reads the pasuk plain, it means, ma avodas lachem, it means, what is this avodah? That's all. It doesn't mean anything more. And it says, v'martem, zevach pesach, ulad Hashem, asher pasach, abot, so she explained to him the phenomenon. But you see, we have a system of Torah Shebal Peh. In the system of Torah Shebal Peh, we say that there's no such thing as repetition in the Torah. No such thing as repetition. If the Torah repeats itself, it means, if you look carefully, you'll see. It comes to indicate a specific idea. That's the system of Torah Shebal Peh. So really, when the system of Torah Shebal Peh starts analyzing the psukim, so it finds over here, you say, Mo Avodas Eslachem, and then it says, and then later you have Mazos. So it seems like why did the Torah have to repeat? The Torah says, again the same Sipra Maisa. Okay, again the same question. Now, so Chazal say, I mean, the Torah Shebal Peh explains that it's not a repetition. And why did the Torah have these different variations? Repeated variations of the same. And basically, what it means is that in other words, the Torah Shebal Peh, like I said, if you take a look at the Torah Shebichsav, you would say, Ki Yisholcha Vincha Mocha Leimah Moi, this is what I'm at Levincha. This is what you say. Exactly. These exact words. That's what you would say on the surface. But you see, but really, our system is a system of Torah Shebal Peh. Our whole emuna, the yisod of our whole emuna, is based on Tarshu Bal Peh. And how you read a pasuk is all Tarshu Bal Peh. It's all Tarshu Bal Peh. The Tarshu B'Chassav, see, the Bible critics make a big mistake. They think they try to attack the Bible. You see? They think they're attacking Yadus. Yadus is not really the Bible. Yadus is really the Tarshu Bal Peh. That's what Yadus is. Because the words in the pasuk have no meaning unless you have a Tarshu Bal Peh. Without Tarshu Bal Peh, it doesn't mean a thing. Give you an example. The pasuk says, Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, Asher Yashu Mitzrayim, or say, Shloshim Shana, V'Aba Me'ashan. What does the pasuk mean? It says that they were Mitzrayim 430 years. We know it's impossible. Impossible. Couldn't be Mitzrayim 430 years. Every 430 years, if Moshe Rabbeinu was from the time of Bereshis till from Beis Levi, El Chishon Beis Levi, Gichas Bas Levi, can't be 430 years. Impossible. They went out of Mitzrayim. And make Moshe Rabbeinu have to be hundreds of years old. Impossible. So what does it mean? Moshe of Bnei Yisrael Sheyashu Mitzrayim Shloshim Shana V'Aba Me'as Shana. It means from the time of the Bris Ben Absalom. See, Vayi Mikesh Shloshim Shana V'Aba Me'as Shana. It doesn't. That was one of the things that they changed. When the Tigrim Hashivim, they changed it because they said that they're gonna criticize. So they changed. They said a Moshe of Bnei Yisrael sheyashu Mitzrayim ubishara ratzos shloshim shana v'aba meir shana. It's one of the things that they changed because they're not gonna accept this. The thing is the Tarash Sheker. But why would they think Tarash Sheker? Because they don't know how to. They believe that the Torah is really a narrative. In other words, the Torah is telling you a historical fact. The Torah is based on historical fact, but the way the Torah describes things is not through a historical method. The method the Torah uses is a unique method, which we have privy to from Tarash Bal Peh. From Tarash Bal Peh. Moshe Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim means really from the time of what? From the time of Bris Ben Absalom. Why? Because what was Mitzrayim really? Mitzrayim, the whole idea of Mitzrayim was that was where Klal Yisrael was forged. They were created, the Ummah was forged in Mitzrayim. The fact is that if you have a small number of families, within a few generations, eight, nine generations, you have millions of people. That's the way it is mathematically. That's the way it is. If you have a few families and you have and each family has like six children, yeah, let's say you have 25 families with six children, you have to about an eighth and ninth generation, you have a few million people. It keeps multiplying exponentially. So really Mitzrayim was a system. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev as a case. It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked out the fact that you have Avram, Yisrael, Yaakov, and from them, in a few generations, which is in a period of from the time of from the original time was 430 years, you'll have an entire Ummah. So Mitzrayim is not important in Moshe of Mitzrayim from Mitzrayim. It means Mitzrayim insofar as Mitzrayim really was the place, the situation that forged the Ummah. That's what the pasuk is telling you. Not the history of whether in this land, that land. It doesn't matter. Yes.
Quite difficult because the latest Yitzchak, you can say that the forging of the Ummah took place 30 years before the Leiva.
I'll tell you why. Because it means to say, well, Moshe of Nesha Sheshna means from the time that the Ashgacha determined that this Ummah will be created. That was the Bris Ben Absalom. That Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Yedo Ateida. That was when the idea was created. That was when the idea was initiated by a Kaddish Baruch Hu given to Avraham Avinu. So the pasuk of Moshe of Bnei Yisrael Sheyashu Mitzrayim is not a historical pasuk. We don't read it. It doesn't mean it has nothing to do with how long the if somebody's interested in how long the Jews were actually in the land of Mitzrayim and how long they were slaves. There's ways to figure it out, but the Torah doesn't tell you. Doesn't even tell you.
210
years. 210. It counts as 210.
It says 210 years. So the pasuk says
210. No, it does. It says
210. Me too. So what does it mean? So it means to say that that our whole Masorah, the whole, see, our Yadus is not the Bible, what the world thinks is the Bible. It's a big mistake. It's a big toyos. Yadus is not based. Is not based on what they consider Bible. That has nothing to do with us, basically. What Yadus is based on is all Torah Shabbat Peh. Completely Torah Shabbat Peh. Because the Torah Shabbat Peh tells you exactly how to interpret these psukim, and that's what our whole Yadus is based on. Nobody, the only ones that went, that were based on Bible was the Apikursim, was the what do you call it, the Baisusim and its Dukim. That's why there was a minig of the Tzdukim Baisusim, that they, instead of reading the Haggadah, they'd read Veil HaShemos on the night of Pesach. And that was Apikursis. Why? Because the whole system of Torah is really based on Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh. That was the story with Hillel when they had the gear. Teach me Torah Shabbat Peh. He told him one day, this is an Aleph, next to something else is an Aleph. He says, what do you mean? He says, So the whole system of Yadus is all Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's what it means. It means like this. Kineged Abor Banu Dibre Torah doesn't mean the Psukim. The Psukim are there. See, the Torah is written on two different levels. The Torah is written on a plain level that a person can understand, Dibre Torah Kol Shemei Adam, but it's also written on a level that lends itself to analysis in terms of Torah Shabbat Peh. So all the Kineged Abor Banu Dibre Torah is not, that doesn't mean that these Psukim have to do with these particular, it doesn't mean Mo'af Adas Lachem. Mavarzorachem means that your kids are Rishoyim are going to ask you these questions. It doesn't mean that. It means it's an innocent child is going to ask you a question. A good child. But the Torah, why did Torah repeat the situation several times? Why did it repeat it? It repeated it because in every repetition, if you look in carefully and you analyze carefully, you'll see there's a different limud. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that this kasha belongs to this teretz necessarily. That's not the way it works in Torah Shabbat Peh. You understand? In Torah Shabbat Peh, the limud mavar is in one case it's the lochem that's stressed. In the Torah Shabbat Peh stresses lochem. In another case, the Torah stresses the li. Bavor zarasar Hashem li. That's also in there. If you analyze the Torah, you'll see that the li is not there for nothing, but it's an emphasis, and that's the reason why you have the repetition. See? So all the Abor Banim has nothing to do. It's not Torah Shebichsav. Because I told you, if Torah Shebichsav, if you went by Torah Shebichsav, this is what you do. You'd read the V'matal V'Vircha. You just read these psukim right over here. But Torah Shabbat Peh says no. Torah Shabbat Peh says don't read this psukim. Why? Because Torah Shabbat Peh says the whole concept of Yigadat Levincha has nothing to do with Kriyas Psukim. It has to do with giving over the ideas, the Mesorah, to the next door, to your ben. That's the Lachan. The Mesorah, giving over the Mesorah can't be Kriyas Psukim. That's why if anybody would say, would just read these psukim, Lamat Levincha, Vayitin Hashem, Osas Mosin, Vasan, Hotsim Mishon, that would be Apikorsis. That would be Apikorsis because that's not the mitzvah, and it'd be Apikorsis because the whole concept of Mesorah is to give over to the ben the ideas of Torah, which is Torah Shabbat Peh, not to read psukim to the ben. To read psukim to the ben, you wouldn't be mekayim anything. You wouldn't be mekayim anything at all. You see? So therefore, that's what Chazal say, on the contrary, that Kenegad Abor Banim Dibre Torah means there is no tzura. It means the Torah Shabbat Peh said there is no tzura. But the mitzvah of Yigadat Levincha is really each ben, you have to teach him according to the way he understands. That's the essence of the mitzvah. That's why it has nothing to do with the psukim. The psukim are the limudim from the psukim are just limudim. The Torah is in two different frameworks. The Torah is in one framework is in Dibre Torah Kol Shmei Adam, and the second, like for instance, like we one time did, I believe, Los Avashim Dibach Levimah. Right? Why does it say Los Avashim Dibach Levimah? But what does it mean? It really means a mammal. Gidei means a mammal. But the plain shot is you shouldn't take a kid and boil it and cook it in the milk of its mother. Okay, what's the reason why the Torah used that surah? Because there wasn't a Avodah Zarah in those times that they used to do that. So the Rambam says somewhere in time they recently discovered archaeological evidence that there was Rambam says that it must have been such a thing deduced from the Torah. Somebody said they recently discovered that there actually was such an Avodah Zarah. But the Torah says Los Lashkei Dibach Levimah, because it's giving you the philosophy of the Yisr. The Yisr is an Yisr. One of the kiyumim of the Yisr is Avodah Zarah. It's a Rishon from Avodah Zarah. But the based on the Rechon, but the other one is in A, is the halacha of what do you call it, of kedusha. But the but that's Dibur Torah Lashon Ha'Adam. That's the Torah on the surface. But then there's a different level which is the analysis through Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why they don't go. But Dafke they don't go. They can't go because the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav in terms of the Dibur Torah Lashon Ha'Adam are two separate things. Two separate formulas. Torah works on two different levels, operating two different levels. That's one of the Yisrael Yadas. That's one of the Yisrael Yadas. By the Kohanim, it says that the Kohanim uvivsoram lo yisru tu sorates. By the Kohanim. The Kohanim are not allowed to do it. And everybody's not allowed to do it. But what's the reason? Again, the reason was because the Uvivsoram, in those days, the Kohanim, their Kohanim used to mutilate their flesh. So the Torah openly states it that way, to tell you that in Klal Yisrael the Kohanim of Klal Yisrael are to be far removed from this kind of a practice. But that doesn't mean the Yisrael in Halacha and Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not true. In Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not Halacha in Kohanim, it's Halacha in Klal Yisrael. So there are two separate systems. The Torah is written in two different ways. The drushes for the Abba Bonim are drushes based on the system of Torah Shebaal Peh, not based on the system of Torah Shebachsav. That's all. Ask everybody knows how many Torahs do you have? Come on, Torahs Yeshlochem. We have two Torahs, Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebachpah. What does it mean, two Torahs? It means that there's, it means to say that the Torah, there's two different ways of analyzing the, of reading Torah Shebachsav. Torah Shebachsav is read on one level, in terms of the Dibur Torah Lashon Ha'Adam, the philosophy, the ideas, straight, reason long, and then there's another way, is the method of analysis of Torah Shebaal Peh. What I'm telling you is the answers don't matter. Why? It doesn't mean this answer and that answer. The whole mitzvah of Haggadah is, Torah Shebaal Peh explains the mitzvah of Haggadah is to explain to every child in so far as he's able to understand. In Torah Shebichsav, it's not talking about the details of the mitzvah. That's all Torah Shebaal Peh. You understand what I mean? Right. It's just telling you the idea of Sipur. It's telling you the idea in Lashon B'nai Adam. In Lashon B'nai Adam, it's telling you the mitzvah of Sipur. Separate. In Torah Shebichsav, really, the first two are very good. Because in Torah Shebachsav, the first one is really in Pesach Mitzrayim, which means that they were mechuyev in Pesach Mitzrayim to understand that there's a mitzvah and a mitzvah is l'daras. A mitzvah is necessarily l'daras. That's clear. Then the second thing that it explains is in terms of the Bechor, which means to say that the person has to realize that there was Kadosh Nikol Bechor, means to say that your life, that since your life was spared, that there's a separate mishabed, to mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. That's the whole idea of Pidyon Bechor. That's the whole, it means it's a separate, it's a separate mishabed in because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved your life, so therefore you have a separate shibur of a separate designation. In other words, Hatzola on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechayev a person in Avodas Hashem. So that's what those are two separate ideas. Okay, and the last one Moshe Rabbeinu adds a third dimension. You see, because he's talking about over here, he's not talking about those two points. He's talking about more Eidus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tzivah Hashem al kinei v'aschem. He's talking about the diktukei mitzvahs, the details of the chukim and the mishpatim that there must be in order to survive. In other words, in order for a person to live in the proper way, he has to recognize that he has a commitment to the chukim and to the mishpatim and to the eidos. That's why it says, "Vayitzaveinu Hashem lasos eis kol hachukim ha'ela, le'yiras ha'Hashem lekinu tovon kol hayomim v'chayasinu k'hayom hazeh." So over here, it's talking about a third dimension. The dimension of being medaktik, it's not the philosophy anymore. It's not the philosophy anymore. The other two is the philosophy. Okay? But over here, it's a commitment to asiyas and mitzvahs kilchosa b'chol diktukel. That is the only way that we could be zocha, that Klal Yisrael could be zocha, is to a total commitment to every detail of the halacha. Every halachic detail. That's what he's saying, basically. That's why it's mo'edis v'chukum v'mishpatim v'shetzivish v'mishem v'gen v'esom. That was the musa of Moshe Rabbeinu. That there must be total commitment to every diktuk of the, all diktukei mitzvahs. And that's why he says, Daka ni'alonu ki nishma lasas kol ha-mitzvah zos, v'fnei Hashem v'kenu, kash yatzivanu, exactly the way he told us. So it's a commitment to the details of the halacha. That's a different, that's a third dimension. That's why in Torah Shavuot you have those three really. So there's two formulas. The formula of Torah Shavuot, and then there's a formula of Torah Shavuot. Two different levels. As I said, yeah, the Torah makes sense on two planes. One plane is the philosophical plane, the Parshas and Torah Shavuot. But then there's another different kind of a limud. There's a limud of we extract things through the method of Tarsha Balpa, through the extra word, Lachem, through the different Yukam. That's a different system. Now of course the Bein Chacham is going to be over here. Why? The Bein Chacham, of course, is dealing with Diktuke Mitzvahs. That's where the Bein Chacham is involved. Yeah, of course, the method of Tarsha Balpa is that it bases itself on certain details, certain aspects of the, for instance, what kind of a question is Mazos? What kind of question is Mazos? You know what I mean? Or Mavarazos Lachem. It bases itself on certain details, additional details. But those details do not have to follow the specific formula of the Derech of the Torah Shebechsav, which is the philosophical trend. You know what I mean? Doesn't have to. That's not the way the Tarsha Balpeh works. So therefore, that's why it doesn't work out, because that's bedafka the method of Tarsha Balpeh. In other words, in Tarsha Balpeh, as long as it's within the realm of the mitzvah, the detail is a malamed. It teaches you an idea. We're talking about yesterday, we mentioned about the whole idea of Torah Shebaalpeh. Everything that we, our whole Amunah is really based on Torah Shebaalpeh. On Torah Shebaalpeh. Of course, Torah Shebaalpeh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's meaningless. Torah Shebaalpeh is meaningless without Torah Shebaalpeh. The whole idea, our whole Mesorah, everything that we're tied to, how we interpret the Torah Shebaalpeh is all through the method of Torah Shebaalpeh. Without Torah Shebaalpeh, a person is a kofer biker. He has simply nothing. And really, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, it's a pasuk in Kisisa. It's a pasuk in Kisisa where the pasuk says that, hold on a second, after Moshe Rabbeinu's third aliyah, we received the Luchas second time. We received the Gimel Midos. So it says, the Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Moshe Ksav Luchos Advarim Ha'ela Ki Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela Karati Yitzcho Bris Ves Yisrael. What does it mean, Al Pi Advarim Ha'ela? So Chazal say, just a second. Yeah. The Gemara says in Gittin, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael Elo Al Torah Shebaalpeh Shenema Ki Al Pi HaDvar Ma'ayla Karati Yitcho Bris Ves Yisrael. So you see the whole Krisas Bris between Klal Yisrael and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only through Torah Shebaalpeh. That's why I mentioned yesterday that those who think that the religion of the Jew is based upon the Bible are completely mistaken. Completely mistaken notion. And all those people, the Apocursim, who think that they're attacking Yadis by attacking the Bible, is a mistake to begin with. Because it's only the Torah, Shebechsav, the way we were given to understand it. Not just the book, not just the words of the Torah. That's a pasuk of Torah. Ki al pi ksav l'chos hadvarim ha'ela, write them down. Why? You should write them down. Ki al pi hadvarim ha'ela karati et chok mitzvos Yisrael. Because through the Torah Shebaal Peh, these words become krisis bris. How do they become krisis bris? Only al pi hadvarim ha'ela, only through Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebechsav alone is nothing. Torah Shebechsav alone is nothing. Okay. That's exactly the mashal. Exactly the mashal with Hillel and the guy. Yesterday I told you this, and now today I'm telling you it's a base. How do you know what it is? There's only one way you can know it, and that's through Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Torah, it says, the Torah Shebechsav is an entity, but the entity becomes a vehicle of krisis bris, becomes yadus only through Torah Shebaal Peh. Without Torah Shebaal Peh, it's nothing. Okay. Yeah. And that's all the upper kursim from the time immemorial always tried to construe Klal Yisrael as being based on Torah Shebechsav. Because the nature of man, really, in truth, that has to do with an idolatrous instinct. The idolatrous instinct is that the person wants something that's material. But in our religion, in Yadus, it's not based on anything material. It's based on a method of interpretation which can only be transmitted through Gedolei HaMasorah from one door to another door. It cannot be even. There isn't even an entity of a bechsav with regard to. There are no fixed words. There isn't even a substance of words. Not only is there no substance, but there isn't even a substance of words. The substance of words in the Torah, it's true. The substance of words in the Torah, we accept the Torah. This is the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's when it's given to come. But the only attachment between us and God through that vehicle is only through Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay. But anyone who tries to understand the Torah through his own methods, tries to use his own methods of interpretation, which he gleans from other books and other writings, is immediately he's on the wrong track. He has no shaykhs to Torah. Okay. There's one thing I wanted to add. It's on this tape, that's all I wanted to mention. I said yesterday that Elah Dvarim, the Sefer Dvarim, is really where we see Moshe Rabbeinu emerge as in a different function, a different capacity in Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Dvarim, in one sense, he's operating, it's actually a combination of Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Dvarim, in one way, he's acting like he always did, which is giving over the mitzvahs, because there were certain mitzvahs that he wasn't instructed to give before, because every one of those mitzvahs is tied into Bias Aretz. And if you look carefully in Dvarim, I went on the thing and spoke about it. Look carefully in Dvarim, see every one of the mitzvahs that were omitted in the Abachum Shei Torah were later given in Mishneh Torah, the new mitzvahs. Sometimes there were additions, that's something else, but the new mitzvahs were given because of the fact that in some manner, in some way, they're tied to Bias Aretz. And the Torah always makes the connection. Okay. But the Sefer itself, Elah Dvarim Shedidim Moshe Kol Yisrael, is really a Sefer in which Moshe Rabbeinu appears as a Novi Mazir. That's essentially, that's the character of the Sefer. It's different. Elah Dvarim Shedidim Moshe Kol Yisrael. So somebody questioned me yesterday, because they quoted a statement that says that Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe, and that really Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying these things himself, but he was just a physical body that was a vehicle of God's word. And I said no, that's not true. that Moshe Rabbeinu really initiated these words himself. These were words that he spoke himself. And somebody went so far as to say that wherever in the Torah somebody said something, it's the same kind of a thing. I mentioned yesterday that it's absurd to say such a thing. Because you say Paro, when he made his statements, was Shechina medaberes tov gronosh Paro. This doesn't make any sense. It's impossible. It is a crazy idea. But the statement that Shechina medaberes mitoch gronosh Moshe, you should know, is not found in Chazal. And it's not found in any Midrash. It is found only in a Zohar, which places it in a completely different frame of reference. There is a Gemara, two Gemaras actually, two Chazal, which state the contrary of the way people understand that statement from the Zohar. I'm not getting into the question of the Zohar. I just want you to know that the first sources, the main sources we have, is Chazal. Gemara says in Megillah Dachlamet Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says that halach is that you can't be mafsik in the klolos. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Abaya Lo Shonu Ala BeKlolos Lamet Aleph Amud Beis Megillah Lo Shonu Ala BeKlolos Shebetoras Kahanim Aval Klolos SheBeMishne Torah Posik. That's the ones in Taskanim. Umoshe mipi agvura amran. Okay. V'halalu, and the ones in Mishneh Torah, b'lashin yochid amuras. It's b'lashin yochid. Umoshe mipi atzmo amran. Moshe mipi atzmo amran. What does it mean, pi atzmo amran? Pi atzmo amran means that he initiated, he said it by himself. Tesfis adds, Moshe mipi atzmo amran. So Tesfis adds, uberuach hakadosh. See, why does they say Baruch HaKadosh? Because how could he know possibly what's going to happen? He can't know the cause. So that's it. But if you would say, the way people understand the statement, Shechina medaberes mitoch gronosh al Moshe, that he was simply a corporeal vehicle of the word of God, so what do you mean? You know, Baruch HaKadosh, both in Pirek Vura. But the answer is, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu initiated it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Bava Basha says, Gemara Bava Basha of Peches and Beis, Amar Rabbi Levi, Bo Ure'e, Shelo Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basu Adam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the Midas of flesh and blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Birech Yisrael B'chof Beis, V'kilon B'shmona, U'Moshe Birechim B'shmona, V'kilon V'esrim Ashtayim. Okay? So what does it mean? It means because Moshe mipi atzmo amran, exactly. You're going to tell me that it's all mipi agvur, exact same thing. So what is it? How can you differentiate? Can't differentiate. So you see that Chazal are against this idea. On the contrary, that Moshe Rabbeinu initiated on his own the klolos and the brachos. Ruach Hakodesh. He had Ruach Hakodesh. He was able to know what's going to happen in the future. But Eilat Varmer Shdiva Moshe Kol Yisrael means he himself made those statements. But of course, what it means is, it doesn't mean, I mean, it's up to courses if a person thinks that these were just different Moshe, and they were never later told to him by God to incorporate them into Chamisha Chumshe Torah. That's clear. Later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said those words that you stated, those statements that you made, you should take and you should incorporate as a separate additional Sefer Mishneh Torah, is part of Chamisha Chumshe Torah. As a matter of fact, if you look carefully in the end of Devarim, you'll see that not only the Divrei Moshe, but everything he did, Adyom Misaso, was to be incorporated into Torah Shebach Sav. And that's why you have the Machlekes with regard to the last Eipsukim. The last Eipsukim, was it Yehoshua Ben Nun wrote it, or was it Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it? Okay. The problem is like this. So on the surface, you should say, so Moshe Rabbeinu Kassel, because the whole Kedushas Sefer Torah is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can you have eight Pesukim in the Sefer Torah that's not part of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is, the other Shita holds that there's a problem with that. The problem is, because if you're going to say that, so what kind of Moshe Rabbeinu wrote something down that's not true? How could he be Kosev something, an event that didn't occur? He's writing it as if it occurred, but it didn't occur. So it's not true. So I believe what we said at the time was, it was on another tape, what we said at the time was that the that Moshe Rabbeinu's, the events of Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira are not particular events. If they were particular events, then it's correct. He's writing something that's not true. But the events of Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira really are universal, have universal value, like Kol HaTorah Kulo. So that's why there's limud from those events. They're universal events. They're not just events that are particular. So therefore, these events are true immediately. They have a reality in terms of the ideas, the universals, and those, that reality existed at the time that he wrote it. So it's not the particular events, but it's the universal. That's why they're part of the corpus of Torah. That's what we hold, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. Okay. Yeah. But the other ones maintain that he couldn't have written it because it didn't occur yet. So therefore, it wouldn't be true. So therefore, they say, but it had to be written. Why? Because Siyum HaTorah has to include everything about Moshe Rabbeinu, every event that he did, including his Petira as well. So the Mechayev for the Torah Shebichsav is the fact that the Mechayev is the fact that these are the events that occurred to Moshe Rabbeinu. The only thing is, it was impossible for him to be kosev. So therefore, Yeshua was given the permission to be kosev, to add these psukim to the Torah, because the events are machayev that they be part of Torah, that they be part of Chumash Chumash Torah. There's no other possibility. That's what, in other words, everything in the Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, except a part which had to be a component of Torah, which was impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu to be kosev, that Yeshua was instructed to be kosev. Okay. Means the way Moshe Rabbeinu died is not just an event of a person dying. Every aspect of his Petira has universal value. There are ideas to be derived from it. Why he died that way, how he died that way, where he was buried. All those things have universal value.
I don't
universal
understand value. The question that.
Other nevuahs are written in the future. But over here, it's written down by Yom HaShem Moshe Eved Ad HaShem, and it's written down that it happened, but it didn't happen. That's the question. That's the question of those that hold Yeshua wrote. Okay. The Rambam is in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Vav. Afal pi shakol Toras Moshe, Tori Moshe uti Agvura Amram. So the Rambam holds not like the Man Damei Yeshua wrote the last days. Because the Rambam holds it's impossible to produce a Chefza Shel Torah without Nevuas Moshe. That's what the Rambam's conclusion is. So therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have received this Mipi Agvura, it would not be, couldn't be part of Torah. It has to be part of Yeshua. Okay. But the Rambam itself is difficult. The Rambam's Ho'olu Mashmon Shehei Machamisas Moshe Harei Mishtanu. Every event in Moshe Rabbeinu's life is tied to a very specific kind of Ashgacha. Very specific kind of Ashgacha. And that kind of Ashgacha, that's what I mean by universal truth, means every event in his life is tied to a very specific... I want to mention, so what is the Sefer Teres Moshe is really is a Sefer of... what is Sefer Teres Moshe? It's a Sefer of Ashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what it is. It's Ashgachas Hashem, really. That's the Sefer. Everything in it, the mitzvahs and everything, all comes under one thing, Ashgachas Hashem. And the very special Ashgacha, that's one of the you give me the karm. That Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is unique, different than any other Navi, and his relationship to God is completely different. That's the last pasuk in the Torah. V'lo komod Navi Kemoshe Sheidar Hashem Panam Panam V'chol Osam Osam. It means to say that his as a gavra, his relationship to God in every aspect and every event of his life partook of a very special ashgacha that no human being ever partook of before or after. Before or after. And that's why every event is part of Torah's Moshe. See, it's an interesting thing. But the Bible scholars have one problem with the Torah. What's the problem with the Torah? The problem with the Torah is they call the Torah a narrative. Of course, that's right away, it's false. Torah is not a narrative. A narrative is a story. Torah doesn't mean Torah. What does Torah mean? Torah means limud. Torah is limud. Sefer Teres Moshe. It's safer. The word safer is not the word Torah is to be underlined. It's a safer Torah. The word safer is descriptive. Torah is definitive. It's limud. It's limud. That's why they say they can't understand the Torah. Why can't they understand the Torah? Because they can't understand that where do you see a narrative ends before the climax? The whole narrative is supposed to be from the time of Avraham Avinu. What's the whole narrative? That they're supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole thing. How can a story end before the climax? So they decided, some people decided, Sefer Yeshua should be part of the Torah. This is nonsense. This is amaratz. This is the total ignorance. Because they don't understand that precisely, it's true, the Torah ends before Bias Haaretz. Before. Because the Torah is unique. What creates Sefer Torah's Moshe is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. And Ashgochas Hashem with regard to every aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So therefore the Torah has to end before Yeshua. That's precisely why. It's a Yesod Hadas. It's a Yesod Hadas. As I said before, anyone that approaches Torah with ordinary ideas cannot possibly have any understanding of Torah. It's completely impossible. Every event that Moshe Rabbeinu did, Lakoch HaSefer Torah Zeh, he thinks of Torah, but then that had to become part of the Torah Shel Sof. That's the end of Dvarim. You see the end of Dvarim. That's the main idea. Welcome, Mr. Moshe. Okay. I just want to add one thing that the rest of this tape really should be followed by the next tape of the with regard to the Agada. So something I wanted to add. Okay. Discuss the Agada, and I know we've discussed it a number of times before. What I'd like to do is, like in a fashion of a summary, to give like an overview of the main ideas of the Agada. I say the main ideas of the Agada, I don't mean, I'm not giving a shear like I did in the past on certain aspects of the Agada, on the Suda of the Agada, or on the Sipur of the Agada. In the past I spoke about, specifics about the Agada. What I'd like to do is, I have to ask your indulgence, because I don't have it really, it's not organized. Not organized, enough time to organize it really, but hopefully we'll be able to cover the main points. And what I'd like to do is, the points I'd like to discuss are the points of the Agada that have to do very much with the understanding and experiencing the night of the Seder. Because the night of the Seder is a certain experience. It's an experience of the soul. And this experience, the whole purpose of Agada is to bring about this kind of an experience. If you don't experience it, so then you're not Makai in the Mitzvah. You're not Makai in the Mitzvah. That's why it's a Leficha Nachna Chayavim Lahodos Lahala Lashabeach Venomalafan of Shechadash Shechadasha. So it means to say Chayavad Machal of Dardar Lira Satzma Ki'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. It means that, what does it mean to say? It means to say if you don't reach a certain experiential point, there is no Kiyama Mitzvah. B'shlei Musa. There's no Kiyama Mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah like the other mitzvahs in the Torah, where it doesn't matter what the person's state of being is, like Tkiyas Shofar. It doesn't matter. But the Mekayim of the Mitzvah. But over here, there's a Kiyama Mitzvah in having a certain experience. It's a certain state of mind. That is the very part of the Kiyama Mitzvah. It's similar to the Mitzvah of Yantif, where you have to be in a certain frame of mind, certain state of mind. If you don't have a state of mind, you're not Mekayim the Samachta B'Chagecha. So, but over here, it's more profound. The state is a much more profound state. And what I want to say is, really, that in the night of the Seder, the night of Pesach, is really found Kol HaTorah Kulo. All, it's really like an abbreviation of everything that's found in Torah. What do I mean? I mean like this. I mean it has certain elements. The key elements of the Torah. It has the Yesod HaDos. It has the Yesod HaDos. That's one thing. It also has... It teaches a person how to go from a state of imperfection to the highest state of perfection. That also was incorporated in the Haggadah. And it brings into play all the Yesodei Hadas, really. The whole philosophy, the whole Hashkafa of Torah, and how man can perfect himself. It's all included in the night of the Seder. Okay. How do I know this? I know this from a pasuk in the Torah. Remember the question of the Bein Chacham. What is the question of the Bein Chacham? Question of the Bein Chacham is, Ki yishocha vincha macha leimar. Moha eidos vachukim vamishpatim ashetziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. Right? That's pasuk, that's in Dvarim Vav, pasuk Chaf. Okay? Moha eidos vachukim vamishpatim ashetziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. All right, so it says that's the shaila of the Bein Chacham. All right, v'amarta levincha, the pasuk says, avodam hayin lefar mitzrayim yetzein Hashem lekein mitzrayim b'yad chazaka v'yikna Hashem osus and oksum gedolim v'ram mitzrayim b'far v'chol beis aleinenu. So the kasha is, and then it goes on, v'asana hotzim yisham. As a matter of fact, we learn out v'asana hotzim yisham that yimachoyev chayev adam liris asana v'ruch kilu hu yotzim yisham v'asana hotzim yisham. All right, l'man havi asana l'aslana saratz ha'shenish b'la v'asenu. Okay, that's the parsha. The question, of course, is this parsha, and it's a separate parsha. This parsha, really, on the surface, would seem to give the formula for the for Sipur, because it says Ki Shalcha Vincha Machalemar is the Shaila the Chacham. You know, you better Shaila than that, and it tells you what you should tell him. But actually, we never use this parsha. The strange thing is, it's open to the Torah. Okay, so we explained yesterday, we dealt with the Arba Bonim and the method of derivation of the Shelas of the Arba Bonim and the answers of the Arba Bonim. And we said that it's based on what the Baal HaGadah is saying, what Chazal say, is based on the special method of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's really a Yesod in the Dos, and I mentioned before, Yesod in the Dos is Ki aksav v'chos advar me'ela pasim kisisa ki alpi advar me'ela karati itcho bris v'sisrael. It means that the Torah is only a bris if it's alpi advar me'ela, if it's Torah Shabbat Peh. Without Torah Shabbat is nothing. And that's why we spoke about yesterday, we show that Chazal through Torah Shabbat Peh show us how to read the psukim. Okay, but nevertheless, the question, we didn't really answer the question of the parsha itself, which seems overtly to state that there is a specific formula which we don't follow. Okay, you know, we don't say that. We don't recite this formula. Why? Why is it so? Why is it that the overt meaning of the pasuk seems to contradict the Torah Shebaal Peh that we have, insofar as how to perform a seder, how to perform the mitzvah of Gadol Hanan? Okay, I think the answer is very simple. Take a look at the pasuk. Ki yisholcha vincha mocha lemar moha eidos v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. What does it mean when it says eidos? Achukim we understand. Mishpatim we understand. Chukim means mitzvos that God gave that have no reason attached to them in the psukim. And I'm going to get back to that in a while. I think that's an important point. What is a chuk? What is a chuk? And how do we relate to a chuk? And mishpat, of course, justice, is something which a person relates to intrinsically. His mind, he understands. Man is born with the capacity to understand what is just, to have a sense of justice, and know what is just and what is unjust on a basic level, at least. Okay, to particularly justly use chachma, but at least a basic notion of justice is something which is built into a person's soul. It's not something which a person can learn. A person has to have a sense of justice. It's like equality. You cannot learn what equality is. It has to be in the person's soul. The idea of justice is something which is not learned, but it exists. It's intrinsic in the human being's soul. He has a sense. This is just. If a person borrowed $100 from you, so then he has to pay you back. That's justice. It's a concept of justice. It's an intrinsic concept. It's like two. It's like two equals two. It's an equality. It's like the idea of equality. You can't. It's not something a person can learn. It's something which is built into the person's soul. Now, so the chukim, that's mishpatim. Mishpatim revolve around that notion. They're attached to that notion. Of course, it's much more advanced than just a simple notion, but it's tied to that notion. But chukim is not. For instance, paraduma. Paraduma is not something that a person would can attach to something innate in his nature. There's nothing innate that is built around. It's not built around something innate. Okay, what is Eidus? What is it? That's chukim from. What is Eidus, though? What does Eidus mean? So Eidus means the mitzvos that have a certain representation. Okay, have a certain representation. Which mitzvos? Which mitzvos? What are they talking about? What kind of mitzvahs? Which mitzvahs have a certain representation? So what will you say? So you'll say, like the mitzvahs of Pesach or the mitzvahs of Matzah. It's not like Paraduma. See, Paraduma has... We don't know what the performances are with regard to Paraduma. Okay? But with regard to Matzah, we know. Because Matzah zu shana ochon al-shema. Al-shema. Okay? So... That's what Eidus means. But it's an interesting thing. What is it? Take a look at the pasuk. Yishol chavin chamachalema. What does it say? Mo Eidos v'achukim v'mishpatim ashatziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. What does it mean? Is it referring to Matzah and Pesach? No. I say it's not referring to Matzah and Pesach. It's referring to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's not... This parasha over here, Yishol chavin chamachalema, is not referring to the night of the Seder. It's not referring to the night of the Seder. As a matter of fact, the Ramban says so openly. If you take a look at the Ramban, he says, what is the Eidos? He says, Tefillin, Zuzah, he brings down, I don't have Ramban in front of me now, but he brings down all the mitzvahs in the Torah that have Eidos. So it's not simply, it's not referring to matzah, it's not referring to isolated mitzvahs. It's referring to the mitzvahs, the Eidos, and the mitzvos, and the chukim, and mishpatim, ashatziva, Hashem, alakeinu, eschem. It's Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klal Yisrael, it's different Musa. He's talking to Klal Yisrael, and he's telling them that this is what you have to transmit to the next door when these questions arise. Okay? So it's not referring to the night of Pesach. It's referring to Kol HaTorah Kula. So why is it that... So what right do we have to say that that Chacham Mo Omer is referring to this question? Mo Eidus V'Chukim V'Mishpatim Ashasiv V'Hashem Elokeinu Eschem? If the parsha is not referring to the night of Pesach. Of course, the answer makes sense, even if it's not referring to the night of Pesach. It's v'matol v'lechavar min l'farim service and Hashem l'kenem v'yisham v'yachazaka. It means the machayev of the mitzvah sees Mitzrayim. That's machayev all the mitzvahs. Not referring to matzah and Pesach. Okay? But the answer is like this. This parsha is referring to Kol HaTorah Kula. But the night of the Seder, really, is a mesorah, not only insofar as the mitzvahs of the halayla is concerned, it's the mesorah insofar as Kol HaTorah Kula is concerned. That's why the Torah Shebaal Peh said that this question is a question that has to be addressed during the night of the Seder itself. Okay? This question is the Shaila of the Ben Chacham. So the Torah Shebaal Peh said that since this question is universal, but the night of Pesach is an answer to the universal question of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs. It's not just with regard to the mitzvahs of the Torah. So that's why this parsha, which Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about Kol HaTorah Kula really, is applicable to the night of Pesach itself. Where do you see this? Where do you have another raya for this concept that the night of Pesach is really not just a halacha insofar as the mitzvahs halayla, but it's a halacha with regard to all the mitzvahs? Where do you see that? You see that in the pasuk with regard to the other pasuk, the main parsha, the main pasuk that deals with the very mitzvah of Haggadah, which is v'igalta levincha. Yigimel Ches, V'galta Levincha Bayomu Leimor Bavur Ze Osar Hashem Li B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim. Okay, that's the main pasuk, that's the pasuk that the Torah Shebaal Peh said is the one that's referring to the mitzvah, the specific mitzvahs. The specific mitzvah of Haggadah. Right? It's an interesting thing. So he says, Bavur Ze, Rashi says, Bavur Shekayim Mitzvosov Kigon Pesach Matzah Umorah Halolah. So what does it mean? Bavur zeh osar Hashem li. It doesn't make any sense. Bavur zeh osar Hashem li. What do you mean? Bavur zeh. What's zeh? Zeh always means you're pointing to something. Something in front of you. Bavur what? Because of the matzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, but it doesn't make any sense. So what does it mean? It means the matzah is a universal representation of what? Of kol HaMitzvahs. So you see, from the very formulation of the mitzvah v'igadata levincha, that the night of the Seder is not merely an answer to the questions of why do you do those things that we do on the night of Pesach, but it's really an answer to the greater question, which is why do we keep all the mitzvahs and all the chukim and all the mishpatim? And that's the parsha in Devarim, ki shol chavincha. Okay, yeah. That's why, of course, we don't do the end of that parsha, the parsha in Devarim. That's why we don't read the rest of the parsha in being mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because if that parsha was referring to the night of Pesach, we'd have to. As ki yishol chavincha, if the pasuk would have said ki yishol chavincha balaylo ahu lema moha edus vachuk la mishpatim, so then of course the end you'd have to answer amatel vincha, it would be a mitzvah mitaraisa. This is the formula. You have to have pasuk chaf aleph, chaf beis, chaf gimel, chaf dalad, and chaf hey, right? The rest of the parsha. But since it's referring to kol haTorah kula, Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to, it wasn't referring to the night of Pesach. He was referring to kol haTorah kula. It is not, the mitzvah is a mitzvah not in recital of psukim, but he's simply, it's a mitzvah for a person, for every individual. It's a mitzvah of limud. It's a mitzvah of limud haTorah, to be melamed Torah, the Klal Yisrael, to teach people the ideas of Torah, which, of course, the basic ideas of Yetzias Mitzrayim and of the machayev of Torah and all those ingredients that are necessary to teach a person to understand why he's machayev of mitzvahs. But it's not a specific formula for the night of Pesach. It's the only thing is that since the night of Pesach is kol haTorah kula, so we derive from that the shela of the bain of the bain chach. Okay, all right. Okay. That's why I want to expand on this concept that really the night of Pesach is a miniature of the basic yesodos of kol haTorah kula. Okay. And now there's another point. There's another thing I just want to mention something else. What is, before we get started, what is really Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I'd ask you, what is Yetzias? I don't mean Yetzias Mitzrayim in physical terms. I mean, if somebody would ask you, what is Yetzias Mitzrayim in ideological terms, what does it mean? Okay. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Man. Yetzias Mitzrayim is really a conversion. It's an interesting thing. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a conversion of a nation that had nationalistic characteristics to a nation that has halachic characteristics. Okay? That's really what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. That's the whole process. It's a funny thing. There's a certain psukim, you know, when you learn a certain psukim, so they remain in your mind, and you somehow or other you can't put them into a place, and then if you're fortunate somehow or other along the line the pasuk wakes up, you know, it has a certain meaning, you understand the framework of the pasuk. That's a pasuk that always bothered me. Pasuk, a simple pasuk, v'atem tiyuli mamlechas kohenim v'gai kadosh. What does it mean? I mean, what was it necessary to make that enunciation? Of course in Kabbalah Torah, what does it mean? What does the Torah say about Tilu Mamlachas Kohanim V'Gai Kadosh? What is exactly what it means? It means that before Klal Yisrael received the Torah, they were a nation. They had nationalistic properties. Okay, yeah, that's really the beginning of the Agada, the whole beginning of the Agada, which starts off when in Arami Oved Ovid. All right. And Arami Oved Ovi. Where, by the way, in Arami Oved Ovi is that idea mentioned? Because Arami Oved Ovi is Seil Amad. Where is that idea mentioned? That concept mentioned? Concept is mentioned Varav, under Varav. You see, Arami Oved Ovi starts off with the Tzasipur HaMaisa. It's the Tzasipur HaMaisa. Same art. Okay? First it says Vayir Mitzrayim. Okay, Shinema Vayim. That's before, really. Then when they're down in Mitzrayim, the first Vayer Mitzrayim, Vayer Hashem b'mseim ot. K'mo Hashinema, b'shim nefesh yod v'sechem Mitzrayim, v'ata somcha Hashem l'kech k'chef Hashem l'rav. Okay? So what does that mean? That means to say, that's referring to the physical properties. And also, you also have that again, Gadol and Otzel. Gadol and Otzim, K'mo Hashinema, Avnei Yisrael, Poru, Vayishritzu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu, B'mod Me'od, Vatimole Yaretz Oso. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took 70 people, a small amount of families, and inside of a little bit more than two centuries, there were a few million people. Okay? There were a few million people. And that's because it's an amazing thing. It sounds phenomenal, but the truth is mathematically that's correct. Mathematically, if you had a few families that have five or six children, and it keeps on happening, after a few generations, about 7 or 8 or 9, you're going to have a few million people. Okay, that's all right. So that's because it multiplies exponentially. So that's really, that's the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in forging Klal Yisrael, first there was the necessity to have the physical amount of people. And that was Uvnei Yisrael Poru, Vayishritzu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu. So they had a lot of children, and they kept on having children. Each family kept on having a lot of children. So in two centuries, you have millions of people. Now, that was from the Bris Bein Absarim. For the Bris Bein Absarim, that this is going to happen. Of course, the problem with that is you have millions of people, but usually they disperse and they don't keep their identity. But this group of people was different. This group always maintained their identity. What was the identity? So Chazal says, Shloshinu, Marbushom, and Lashonom, and Shmoseim. Okay, they didn't change their names. What does it mean? It means that it was a group of people that had a certain national identity. And that's how Parish, that's the physical nation. Then the next thing you have is Varov. What does Varov mean? Varov says, Varov k'mo shenema, Ravova k'tzema chasad nesaticho, Nesatich, Vatirbi vatigli vatavoi b'edi adoyim, Shadayim lachonu sereich tzimeach, Va'at eron v'erya. So it means that you reached a state, a martial state of puberty, so to speak. It means the physical component was ready. As opposed to Yecheskel, it means that what? That he saw that they were suffering. And I said to you, then on the contrary, this suffering that's going on in Mitzrayim is going to be the source of the establishing the whole nation, because of the Avodah Kasha, because of all the difficulties, because of the Avdus. So the Avdus was something which forged Klal Yisrael. That's why, of course, people ask the question. You say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hotzeinu Mitzrayim. Yeah, but he brought us down to Mitzrayim too. So why should we feel such a responsibility for Shelach? But the answer is because Mitzrayim was the place that created Klal Yisrael. That's what the Shelach Vayda is. Mitzrayim was v'ever alach v'erlev v'malach b'namayach hayiv v'malach b'namayach hayiv. Because of Mitzrayim, we receive something far greater. We receive the whole mamlachas kamanu v'gai kadosh. Okay. Now, because it means, because b'damaya chayi, there's two interpretations of the plain shot, and b'damaya chayi means with the suffering. Because of the suffering, because they had nothing, and because they were suffering. So they were open to suggestion, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give them ideas, which gave them a sense of superiority over their oppressors. And because of the whole psychological system, they were able to become a nation, an unbelievable nation. So the Avdus was necessary. If they didn't have Avdus, they wouldn't have accepted anything. That's it. They had to have Avdus. So Avdus was necessary. So that's Vamalach. That's the Plemsha. But Chazal say Vamalach B'damaya Chayi means Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. What does it mean? All they're doing is they're adding, and they're saying those are the two mitzvahs. It's a reference also. On another level, the Pasuk is a reference in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a reference to the two central mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Dam Mila, which is the bris of Avram, which is the perfection of the human being, and Dam Pesach, which is the whole system, accepting the whole system of Torah, the mitzvahs of Mishkul, of Seshel Mitzvah, the accepting the nation, the establishing of acceptance of all the mitzvahs. One is perfection in man, and one is perfection as far as Torah is concerned. That's why they say B'damayachai twice. That's why they say it by bris. Okay. So Klal Yisrael, really, it's an interesting thing, but when you look at this idea, say, okay, it's an idea in the past. It has to do with the past. It has to do with how the nation developed. But the truth of the matter is, it's not an idea in the past. It's an idea in the present as well. And I think it's a principle, it's an ongoing principle in the history of Klal Yisrael, and exists today as well. It means to say like this, that Klal Yisrael is two different nations. It's a national, it has a national aspect. There's nationalism, and then there's Mamlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. It's an interesting thing. Two different nations. They have it today. Zionism. Zionism is nationalistic properties. Certain nationalistic properties. Okay? You'll notice how all the Jews attached to Eretz Israel, no matter how far removed he is from Torah. Why? Because we still have that quality. We still have that quality. Quality of nationalism. But then there are some who are involved in Torah mitzvahs. To them, it's a different concept. Everything's halacha. It's a totally different idea. The nation doesn't have that same meaning. It has a different meaning. The only meaning it has is living according to God's ideas, the Torah. It doesn't have any meaning of nationalism. On the contrary, nationalism is something which we frown upon. It's egoism. Okay? But nationalism does exist simultaneously, just like it existed before it continued to exist. That's an interesting thing. Interesting. What really produces today's nationalism? What gives us nationalism today? What gives us nationalism today? I mean, we don't have Shloshinu Begodom, we don't have Shloshinu Shloshinu Lashonim, Shloshinu, we don't have that anymore today. What? Anti-Semitism, that's correct. It's interesting, you know, I was in a cab in Eretz Yisrael, and I was thinking, what's the common denominator between me and between this cab driver who's not religious? And the answer is one common denominator. The world hates us both the same. And that's it. That's what Albert Einstein said when they asked him, what is a Jew? Give us a definition, a scientific definition of a Jew. He said, I don't need a scientific definition. Whatever they hate, that's what we are. That's it. The world knows what we are because they hate us. So you don't need a scientific definition. It's clear. That's true. That's true. That's the sin of Esav, really. What safeguards, unfortunately, what safeguards the nationalism is really the anti-Semitism. And I mentioned once before, I think I spoke about anti-Semitism and what it is. It really is it's a repression. It's a psychotic kind of a thing. It's neurotic. It's an unconscious thing. That's why it's not explainable in the normal terms, because it's really repression of the fact that the Jew has a certain superiority. And a denial of that fact is the hatred that stems from that envy, which is repressed, is really expressed in the hatred towards the Jew. It's a denial and a repression of a certain fact and reality. And that's why it assumes, once it's repressed, it becomes unconscious and it assumes a different type of expression, which is abnormal. Abnormal. It's an abnormal state. Okay. As a matter of fact, I thought of a good raya for that. The raya is the very term anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is not a misnomer. It's not anti-Semitism. It's anti-Jewish. It's anti-Hebrewism. It's not anti-Semites, wouldn't it? And they don't hate the Arabs. They're also Semites. It means the why is it that the world uses a term that's inappropriate? Why don't they say anti-Jew, anti-Jewism, anti-Hebrewism? The reason is because since it's something which is repressed, they don't even want to recognize that they hate the Jew. Because once they recognize that the hatred is really towards the Jew alone, it's already, it puts a spotlight on that. One second, you're getting closer to why do you hate the Jew? So the name itself is disguised. It's an interesting thing. The name itself is disguised. But there's no doubt that the anti-Semitism, anti-Jewism actually, is really what keeps the properties, the nationalistic properties of maintains the nationalistic properties of Klal Yisrael. And this is not something which is a modern day phenomena that's detached from our system of Torah. On the contrary, I would say that is the entire struggle from the beginning ad hayom hazeh until Yemos HaMashiach. What it means is like this, that. And that really is, what is the tochacha? The tochacha. The bris of the tochacha. The bris of the tochacha is, Eile divrei bris, Hashakaras Hashem b'nei Yisrael, Milvada bris Hashakaras itam b'chorev. Okay? What does it mean? Aside from the bris of Torah, there's another bris. What is the bris? The bris is that Klal Yisrael will never be able to be a national entity and have sovereignty and peace unless they become a mamlechas kohen and v'gai kadosh. And that was the way from the very beginning. That was from the beginning of the plan, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you'll see, for instance, you'll tell me, but what about the entered Eretz Yisrael? You see, they entered Eretz Yisrael, and that's why, and you see clearly the bris of the Torah, as I said before, Torah Shebuchsav, Chamish Chum Shara, ends before entering Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because that's what it means. It means like this, that the, and that's the pshat also in the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says, Yan lohem mantan bilag yisheni leidei b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean? The Chazal say that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, there never would have been a Golus. It means to say that Eretz Yisrael, what is the one entity that really gives a country, gives a people its nationalism? Land. Without land, you can't have anything. What kind of a nationality is that? Land is homeless. There can't be any real nationalism. Nationalism demands a piece of property on this globe, which is designated as that nation's property. Without land, you're nothing. You're a nation dispersed. Where's the nation? Okay? Nationality primarily demands a piece of real estate, a piece of land. So what the Torah says is, that's what the Torah says, you're never going to get this land unless you're mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. V'lo soki ha'aretz eschem. That's what it means. V'lo soki ha'aretz eschem. It means that the land will spit you out if you don't keep the mechukim and the mitzvahs. Because you can't become a national entity. Yes, it's true that Klal Yisrael did enter Eretz Yisrael and did live there and thrive there, but the truth of the matter is, it was always conditional. It was conditional, and the moment it broke up after Shlomo HaMelech, when it broke up, immediately, once you had the Avodah Zarah and in what do you call it, in Ephraim, and then that's it. In Yisrael, the break of Yisrael, and Yehuda. So that was it. Then it hit Yehuda. And you see, the Shivim Shana, what was the Shivim Shana? The Sh'oz Pasuk Dar, the Sh'oz Tish Bas Oretz, the Hirtzos Hashab Soser, Kol Yimei Hashama, to make up for what? For the fact that they didn't keep the mitzvahs in the land. So the land was only given to them, only under one condition, that the mamlachas kind of yakarish. If Moshe Rabbeinu Yan lo amantim bilag disheni means, the pasuk means that if, what did Chazal say? That they would have said, if a stone listens to God, so certainly we should. The difference between hitting the stone and between talking to the stone. What are Chazal saying? Chazal is saying that if Klal Yisrael would have reached a level where they would realize what it means that everything functions only under Tzivu Yakarish Baruch Hu, that then they would have reached the level of Mamlachas Kohen and V'Goy Kadosh, and then they would have went into Eretz Yisrael and never would have left. But they didn't reach that last level. So hitting a stone is a mechanical action, but it doesn't show the idea, it doesn't reflect the idea of the whole Bria being subordinated to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had Moshe and Aaron been able to teach Klal Yisrael that idea, had Klal Yisrael reached that level, they would have entered Eretz Yisrael, they would have attained nationhood, nationalism, and never would have ceased after that. But they were unable to reach that level. That's what the pasuk means. That's why when they entered Eretz Yisrael, it was always conditional, and because of the chatoyim, they had to have 70 years that they were exiled for 70 years to make up. It means there was no. It was a tentative kind of bias arts, and then the second base on Mikdash, which was. For over 400 years, the second base on Mikdash. But it's interesting. Before the second base on Mikdash, Daniel gave a nevuah. And what was Daniel's nevuah? That it's not going to last. He predicted exactly in the pasuk the day of the downfall, the year of the downfall of the base on Mikdash. Because it means to say that again, when they entered again, they weren't on the, it wasn't Mamlachas Kohen of the Gai Kadosh, they weren't on the level to really attain nationhood. You see, to achieve nationalism. Because there's no such thing. We don't have the nationalism. The only nationalism we have, the real nationalism, Mamlachas Kohen V'Gai Kadosh. And if you don't achieve that, you don't have it. You'll never have it. The hatred, the Torah says one interesting thing, and that is that the nation can exist in one of two states. Either state. Either it can exist as in with the attributes of nationhood, which is because of the anti-Semitism and the hatred. That's the repression of the uniqueness of the Jew. Or else, if they're mamlechas kohen in the Gai Kadosh and they really keep the Torah and live according to the way of the Torah, then there won't be any anti-Semitism. There will be, on the contrary, recognition. That's a very simple thing, because when there's recognition of the truth, then the hatred has to be subordinated. The person is forced into recognition. Here's an example. Let's say, for instance, people don't like to recognize new authorities. People don't like to, they like to minimize them. It's disturbing. Say that my neighbor is a great chacham. It bothers me. Why do I have to accept another person that's above me? Okay? So if you have another person, you have a neighbor, and he thinks he's a genius. You say, who is he? He's a nobody. You'll hate him for it. He's arrogant. But if he wins the Nobel Prize, what'll you say? I'm his neighbor. He's my neighbor, of course. You see? It means to say that's the nature of man. The nature of man is such that initially he'll try to deny and even to hate. If he senses that there's some truth to it, he'll have to bury the reality that there's something great about this person. He'll have to hate him instead. But if it's open recognition, then on the contrary, and he wants to join him. That's it. That's really what the Torah means. That as long as Klal Yisrael doesn't keep the Torah, so it's true they have certain unique attributes, but those unique attributes are going to be denied by the rest of the world. Is going to cause the rest of the world to hate them, and they'll have nationalism. Nationalism with like we see today, nationalism with pain and torture and murder. But if they keep the Torah, and then the ideas have to be recognized by the rest of the world, then on the contrary, that's the only way that if they exist as mamlechas kohen and v'goy kadosh, then they'll have total recognition, and then only they'll have peace. Yes. Yeah. Rosh Hashem Hashem Nikra Lachav Yom Nikra. That's what it means. That they'll see. A role that you, exactly, that the other nation will have to recognize the truth of the Torah. How? Through the fact that you're keeping the Torah. So these two ideas, you see, it starts from before Mitzrayim, nationalistic properties, and continues straight through.